Praise God. It's always a pleasure to bring the Word of God. The Creator of the universe still chose to love me and came down to earth to save my life. So to bring that good news is always exciting. It's always energetic. It's always, you know what, brings that passion for me. Yes, if I have to bring the Word, let's do it with passion, with expectancy and with excitement. Yes, I would just like to ask you a favor before I actually start the word. Can I ask you to stand and can I ask you to pray? It's been so much of disturbance in terms of technology and all we have had little bit, but let's not carry it forward, but let's say thank you God that we are here in this place and that God's Holy Spirit will lead us, anoint us, and give us that expectancy to hear from God. To hear from God. So if you just kind of, whatever helps you in terms of either raising your hands, lifting your hands, or stretching your arms, or closing your eyes, I would just like yourself and God. Yourself and God to ask, God, thank you so much for this time that you give your word to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise your name, and we glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus, amidst of all. Lord, you are sovereign God. You are our creator. You are all worthy to be praised. No matter the disturbances, no matter the circumstances, we come here to hear from you alone. Lord, let your Holy Spirit open up our eyes, ears, Lord, and our hearts and mind to receive from you. Let our hearts be recipient hearts. Let it not be the hearts that kind of be like stone-hearted or the ground which is with thorns and stones, but let it be a soft ground which allows the seed to grow, watered, and be fruitful in our lives, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this time, for your word is worthy that changes our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. That's great. I would just like to tell you a story. I've got so many stories, actually. I've got a... when we were living in Scotland, it's always when we got a warm Sunday. We'll have Palm Sundays and every Sundays, but in Scotland, we look for warm Sunday as well in terms of... It's not something traditional. It's that when sun comes out and when it gets warm. So we just go around, and I like driving and going around, kind of exploring places. We used to do that. Most of the times, because when I drive, my wife will be next to me and two boys behind. I just hold the steering, but three next to me will be driving. And the three think that I don't know where I'm going. Most of the times that's true, but I'll be driving, and we have been to this place called Spainbridge, which is a lovely place, and we kind of ended up there about 8 o'clock in the evening. We were staying overnight, and that was the first time ever, and it was scary. And if they were asking, do you know where you are going, I said, I'm here for the first time. How do I know where I'm going? I know I've seen that on the map, but I actually don't know where I'm going. And it was so dark. It was in the forest, and it was really a bit of dangerous way of driving as well. But I don't know where I'm going because I just saw that. Maybe we need to ask for help. But if we, when we are traveling, when we don't know where we are going, the first thing I ask is, I don't even know where I am in the first place. Never mind where we are going, because this is somewhere where you don't have network on your phone. You can't Google it. You just have to go by the maps. So in that area. So it was quite interesting and funny. But finally, we made it. We went back to the reception and asked how do we get to our chalet or log cabin where we booked in. So when we went back, they actually gave us another map which was clear drawing, and they said, if you go and follow this route, I know you will find some muddy, dirty stones road, but that's the road it is. So you just have to go to get to your chalet or log cabin. So finally we were able to get there and have a nice holiday. Is this something to do with the sermon today? It might be or might not be, but I thought I'd tell a story. No, but it will be there. Right. When we go to a shopping center, when you have been there for the first time, what would you look for if you want to look at the shops? If we can get the map up there. If we see some map, I just thought to get it somewhere. If you can see, if you can't see, that's okay. But on the left-hand side to you, on the top, you can see Midtown Place, where it's like a small U, if you can't read it, because I can't see either. But Midtown Place is there. It is a shopping center where somebody wanted to go. But how do I get to that corner on the U shape there? I would like to go there, but how do I get there? I need to find a route to go there, isn't it? So if I say I need to get there, first of all, what I need to know is where I am. Unless I know where I am, I don't know where I am going. So now I know where I am. You will be looking on the map when you look in the shopping center. You are here. You look at it and they say, you are here. When you know you are here, can we go back? After you know you are here, then you look at the direction. When I know I am on Santa Fe Avenue, I don't know where it is, but I just thought it sounded good, so I took that name on. And Santa Fe Avenue. And from there, if I needed to go to Midtown Place, I know I have to go north, where you need directions. Now you can see north, east, west, south. So you need directions. You know where you want to go, then you need to find out where you are. When you know where you are, then you need to know the directions how to get where you want to go. So then I need to go to north until E4th Street and then turn left, which is west, to get to the place, Midtown Place. This is what God has laid on my heart to bring word to you. Many of us know where we want to be. Many of us know what our dreams are. Many of us know what promises God has given in our lives. We know the place where we want to be, position we want to be, how God wants to be. But what we are lacking, that God opened up today or for me to learn, is, Joel, it's nice to have the dreams. It's nice that you are willing to go to the next level and see where God wants you to be. But the first thing what you learn to know is where you are. If you can't find out where you are, forget about where you want to go. If you don't know where you are standing, what situation you are in, if you don't accept what situation you are in, and just want to be in the dreamland of where I am going, think again. It would never be possible for you to get where you want to be unless you know where you are. Because there is no direction. So many of us have visions. Many of us have dreams. Many of us have goals. We see them every day. Day by day, God is giving you those. And you know the promises you are looking at and thinking, yes, I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to be there. But still hardships. Why are we not there yet? Because we don't know where we are right now. Unless the situations where we are right now can't be sorted, we can't be where God wants us to be. then you don't have the direction where you are going if you don't know where you are. Because if I want to go to that place, midtown place, I'll be thinking I want to go, but there is confusion in our lives because I'm thinking I am at the down place here at Aberdeen Avenue. And I was thinking, no, I might be trying another route. Let me try from the top. Or I am trying another route from the east, west, north, south. But actually, it's not working because we are confused, not knowing what capacity I am at, where I am at, what is the position I am in, because we are trying to put them under the carpet. We want to think that, you know what, no, I am fine, I am going there, I know where I'm going. Knowing where you want to go doesn't just help. Knowing where you are, knowing where you want to go, and knowing God's direction will help you to the place where you want to be. Sadly, sometimes, I'll get through the story, but this is what it happens. I am here, and I want to reach the ceiling. I am jumping higher. To reach the ceiling. I can't. I'm coming back, frustrated, disappointed, and thinking, may that be not for me. May that dream is not for me. But let me tell you, actually you might be one step ahead, where you are closer to reaching the ceiling. But we are still thinking, we are down there. Where God has given you everything to say, you know what? You are righteous. You are free. You are son of God. You know what? You are healed. There is no guilt. But still we go down there and think, no, I can't reach it. Get up there where God wants you to be. And that, and sadly, it also the other way around. We are jumping to reach where we want to be, assuming that we are at this height, but we are not. Some of us down here. So let us know today, as if you are standing here, or are you standing on your assumptions where you are and trying to reach where God wants you to be, but failing it. I would just like to go through a story here. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 5. A very familiar story, but I would like to draw few conclusions from there, what God laid on my heart today. For us as a person, for us as a family, for us as a church, for us as a town, where are we? Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 5. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Few things with Zacchaeus. And I thought he knew who he was. He knew where he was. It was good that he had to realize what his abilities are. Sometimes we lose the battle and we lose the focus and we struggle because we do not accept what we are and who we are. first thing with Zacchaeus, what is it that draws the story today is amazing. When you look at Zacchaeus, the first thing what he saw was he knew what his limitations are. He knows what he is. He is a short man. He knows that. Secondly, his dream or his vision is to see Jesus. Right. One thing, Zacchaeus had a vision or a dream or a goal to see Jesus. I want to just have a look at Jesus. I don't want to do anything. That's what he wanted. He knew it. But he just didn't go everywhere. So he assessed the situation and he knew what these limitations are. So secondly, what he did was Zacchaeus recognized who he was. That he was short. Some of us recognize who are short. I mean, when they stand next to me, they know whether they are short or whether they are tall. But though they are short, I love them. You know, it's just some. There's a saying, isn't it? The good things come in short packages or small packages. No complaints about being short. Just to let you know, if any case. Right? Okay. There, Zacchaeus recognized. He knew his limitation. That yes, I am short. That is where sometimes we fail. We have a very good vision where we are going, what we want to see. But to recognize, I am short. This is where I am lacking. Or this is, it's not a lack, but this is knowing what his ability is, what he is, or sometimes it's a strength. Not all tall people do what short people can do. Not everything we can do. So here it's a strength probably, but he exactly know in what situation he is in or what position he is in. And he says, I am short. That's okay. That's what he recognized. And next thing, when he knew it, he had a plan or he had a direction of what he needs to do. What he thought was, he knew where Jesus was passing by. When he wanted to see Jesus, he couldn't run all over the field, wherever it is. He has to know where is Jesus passing by. If I know where Jesus is passing by, then I can do something about it. He wanted to know the direction. For us as well, we just need to know what direction it is. Sometimes we know the goal, sometimes we know where we are. And when we know both, that's not enough. We need to know what exact direction Jesus is going by. That's what Zacchaeus wanted. And we need to know, to hit the target, which direction we should be going through the leading of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, what he did was, he actioned it. How did he action? Because he knew he was short, because he knew the direction Jesus was going, passing by, because he knew what he wanted to do or a dream or a goal, what he wanted to see, he acted accordingly by climbing the tree. Now he can see the vision clearly. Now he is close to where he is. And also I would say, when he had planned this, when he knew what it is, looking at the humanly factors of Jesus when he was on the earth, it might not be as God, Jesus knew exactly where Zacchaeus was or where everything, we know, yes, God is all-knowing God. But in that circumstance, in that crowd, if Zacchaeus wasn't on the tree, probably it would have been a struggle to see where Zacchaeus was because he was short. But his planning and his knowledge of who he is, when he climbed that tree, it became easy for Jesus to see, Zacchaeus, I know you are up there, come down. If he was in the crowd, it might not be as easy. What I'm saying today, when you know a few things, when you have the direction, and when you know where you're going, make apparent to yourself where you are. Make available, make stand out. People might be laughing and saying, you know what, look at him, he's short, that's why he's there. Look at him, you know what, we can't, this tall, we are standing on the rocks, we are standing on the hills, we can't see, what about you, just get away. He just chose to be up the top there. And there might be discouragements when you are going towards your direction. There might be disappointments when people say, you know what, even we couldn't do, what can you do? But you can do when Jesus calls you, Zacchaeus, come down. It's not up there, come down. This is where we should be now to say, right, Jesus, you have given me the vision. I know where I want to be, but help me to find who I am. Help me to find where I am. Help me to be in the place of truth of what I am. Not under assumptions, not under the dreams where you think, right, okay, it's okay. But though it's hurtful, though it's painful, though it's a limitation, I am here who I am. Jesus, just accept me. Jesus, here I am. And Jesus will say, right, making the attempt when he sees you up on the tree there, come down. It's not just you only wished to just have a view or look of me, but I want what I want, what Jesus wants is, I want to be a guest in your house. I want to be a guest in your house today. And if we can make it clear of where we are, God will come to that place. God is not short. His hands have not gone short to help you either deep or high or east or west or anywhere. He doesn't want us to struggle to get up so that he can reach us. All he wants us to do is know where you are. Personally for me, I needed to know where I was. God taught me a few things during the process I was learning. And I'm glad I went through so I could say, yes, Lord, I am at the position which I didn't think I was. And I was under the assumption that I was a step ahead. But God put me back and said, you know what, come down. This is where I want you to be. I met him where God wants me to meet him. Not at the place where I want to meet the God. It was the place where God wanted to meet me. In my place. He wanted to be in my life. He wanted to be the guest in my life. Not I just wanted to see him. Personal relationship with him. And I thank God for those revelation that God has given me, to which helped me to move forward. We'll just look at one more here. Sometimes, yes, we start the journey. We know where we are. We know what we are doing. We pray. Jesus, we thank you for you have given me this vision. Jesus, we thank you. I'm walking with you. I know where we are going. And we start the journey. What happens next? Let's look at it. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 44. Luke chapter 2, when we say it's Christmas season, isn't it? Somebody put up the other day, Christmas is only 21 weeks. Is that something? Do we know? No? Okay. Right. Right. Well, yeah, Christmas is a bit far, halfway through. Right. Well, anyway. Luke chapter 2, which is a familiar chapter where we look at it and think, you know what, Jesus was born, whenever it comes to. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first, because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. For us, in some missions from projects, we start the journey well. We have the vision there. I know where I am. I know the direction. And I took the action and started. That's all well. The same thing happened with Jesus' parents. Every year they go. Yes, Jesus was with them. Went to the temple. After the festival, what happened was Jesus stayed at Jerusalem. I want to stop you there. When we started the journey, we assume, yes, the journey is going smooth, so I need to finish. I shouldn't stop anywhere else now. I should be going on until I finish. But what happened here was, Jesus stopped in Jerusalem. We walk along with Jesus when we know a project. At some point, Jesus stops. But we don't want to. We will carry on. The starting was good because Jesus was with us. But at some point, Jesus says, you know what? We need to stop here. We need to wait for a while here. We need to learn something here. We need to build some relationship here while we are in this journey. But as a human, what we do is, we just ignore a few things. Ignore those small voices and we go ahead of it. That's what Jesus' parents did. He stayed in Jerusalem. He stopped in Jerusalem. And you need to stop when Jesus stops. For our good, for our growth. For our learning, for our benefit. And establish that relationship again with Jesus. And then what happened? They started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind. His parents didn't miss him at first. Because we are full of God's presence, we are full, no, God is dealing with me, God is with me, I'm starting this journey. Yes. And we carry on and on and on, assuming still Jesus is with us. Assuming still Jesus. They didn't realize it at first. We don't realize as well where Jesus stopped, where you left Jesus behind, and we carried forward. We don't realize it. Because at first still we have that assumptions, we do take those things for granted. Yes, Jesus gave me, Jesus said it's going to happen, and I've got this vision, I'm doing this. Yes, I'm carrying on. In anything, in our personal life, in our family life, at our work life, in our church, everywhere. When Jesus wants you to stop, stop and build relationship. And as you can see, they did not miss him at first. We don't miss Jesus at first as well. We are in enthusiasm of so narrow-minded, looking at where we are going. And we forget whom we are going with and leave behind. Because they assumed, verse 44, because they assumed he was among the other travelers. Yes, God is with us because he gave me this project to start. So I am going with it. No, stop. Don't assume Jesus will come behind you. Let Jesus walk in front of you. Let Jesus lead. And then when Jesus didn't show up, then the panic starts. Jesus, you asked me to start this project. You are the one who are leading it. Now what happens suddenly? Why did I fail? Why am I not getting the fruit? Why am I struggling? Why am I stuck? You wouldn't have stuck if you stopped with me there. But you didn't stop with me there. Then you fell into this confusion. You took your own step. You took your own initiative. You forgot me where I was. And then you have to look back. Then Jesus didn't show up in that evening. And we will be questioning then, where are you, Lord? Where are you, Jesus? Why am I going through this? I told you, I stopped. But then, that wasn't the end. That is never the conclusion with our Jesus. He's gracious God. He's wonderful God. He's loving. And as Pastor mentioned, loving kindness, long word. What happened next? Luke chapter 19, 45 to 47. When they could not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. The problem here with us, Jesus' parents, when they knew Jesus wasn't there with him, with them, they turned back and they went to Jerusalem to look for him in Jerusalem. The problem with us sometimes is we take one step at a time. When we start our journey, we take one step. When Jesus asked us to stop here, we'll stop. We should have stopped there. But unknowingly or knowingly, we go, take one step. It is only one step, that's fine, I'm here. And then next time you take another step, it's one more step. When you look at it, you are taking only one step at a time. But when you look back, you are so far away from Jesus, where you actually left behind. And it is hard to go back to find Jesus there. It is hard. When you are moving, it was only one step. But now, you might have to go down 10, 15, 20 steps down to find Jesus. It is hard. That's where we struggle. We don't want to go. And we think it's too far. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I will be able to go back there where Jesus is. Why am I failing? But what they did was, 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. It took 3 days for them. For us, it might take longer. 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 years, how far we have gone. They noticed when they were at a place. If they have gone home, they might have looked at it when they were home. Too far. But Jesus is closer than we think. Or Jesus is closer than we realize. But it's only for us to turn back. It is for to turn back. Let me finish with this story here. Let's go back to Zacchaeus again. What happened in terms of Zacchaeus there? This is what I would like to bring it today. Maybe in our lives we have taken steps, started along, which was a good journey, which is the will of God. But then, when Jesus stopped, we might have not stopped. We carried on. I would just like you to look back, think, return, and say, Jesus, I'm coming again. Have mercy upon us. Luke chapter 19, 6 to 10. What happened with Zacchaeus there? We know now, Jesus called him and asked him to come. down. Reading from verse 6. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his home in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I would like to stop there. When you make that U-turn, people won't be happy whom you are traveling with. Initially, you would be displeased. People along with you displeased. People who don't like you will be displeased. Everybody, or most of them, who have seen you in a different position will be displeased. But Zacchaeus did not care about how the other people responded. They were talking about why is Jesus having companionship or being a guest at a notorious sinner. Don't worry what other people say. If you know where you are, is the greatest thing. This guy, no matter how people are talking, he knows who he is. And that's what we will see in the next of the story. Meanwhile, it's a good word there, isn't it? Everything is happening. Whatever people are talking, they are talking. Meanwhile, whenever everything is happening, let me tell you the same thing. Amidst of whatever is happening, whatever the people are talking, or the situations might be, circumstances might be, and the tough things are, or health-wise, wherever you are down. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. Come and stand before the Lord. Let's come and stand before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Let's make that confession. Lord, I moved on unnoticed that you stopped. Unknowingly, I took my own steps where you asked me to stop. Lord, I would like to come back. If something that needed to be done or given, let me do this. If I have to take those 100 steps back to where I was, where you wanted to meet me, let me come back to those steps. I will give them back four times. He knew, and at this stage again, not only of knowing his physical limitation of being short, now he knew spiritually and in his heart who he was. At that point, I was short. I just wanted to view you. Since you have come in now, since you have come into my heart, since you have come into my life, since you have transformed my life, you know what? I'm going to be a new person again. I'm going to change myself. People might be thinking, I am a notorious sinner collecting taxes and in doing injustice. I will give the poor back. When Jesus comes into our house, we transform. But let me turn back, go and meet Jesus where we left him there. There might be so many things that's become an obstacle. We are doing, I'm not saying we are not doing what we are doing, but we are struggling. These parents, they were going until they realized they were missing Jesus. We will be keep on going, but a point comes where you know you missed Jesus. But that's the point where we have to turn back. Most of us fail. Because it could be so many things of physical, emotional, right, what do people think, say? I'm losing this, I'm losing my position, career, money, so many things. But when Jesus comes into our lives, there is a complete transformation. Probably they might have talked about Zacchaeus at that point, saying, you know what, that short Zacchaeus, who is a tax collector, who is a cheater, a tax collector. But when he has given the money back, when he has given four times, what people might be talking about him? What a generous man. He found Jesus. He knew what he did. He realized, he repented. What a kind person he is. What you are known for will be changed completely in the light of Jesus. The only point is that he needed to come back to where he was, where Jesus was. I loved this one. Verse 9. Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham." Now he is not a cheater anymore. Now he is not a tax collector who was collecting injustice or cheating. What Jesus says is amazing, that he is a true son of Abraham. You are a true son of God. If you can make that U-turn, if you can find where you are, if you can find the direction back where you should be starting, not leaving Jesus behind, if you can go back and say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, where I should be. For my family, for me, for my town, for my nation, I want to come to the place where you are. I want to go back and look where I should be looking for you. And then you will be called the son of Abraham. What an amazing. I don't think, actually, Zacchaeus thought he would be called to be a true son. Not just son, true son of Abraham. He didn't think, probably, that Jesus would come and have dinner in his house. All it started because he knew who he was. He knew the direction, what he wanted to do. He just wanted a glimpse. Imagine what Jesus would do. For us, if we could only say and listen and allow Jesus to do his will in our lives. And only to find where we are. This is what I would like to urge us all. Me, my family, you, your family, as together as a church. Where are we? We have good dreams. We want to bring this church full of people. We want to serve this community. Where are we? Are we strong enough to be the place where God wants us to be? Are we strong enough to provide and to be in a place where God wants to stand us to be a lighthouse in this town? Where are we? We have visions. We have dreams. Everybody has got some passion for it. How can we reach there when we don't know where we are? How can we reach there when we don't know what direction it is? But as I'm just saying, as a families, as this church, and as this town, let's look at what God wants us to be. Let's not leave him behind. Last verse, and then I will finish. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. That is why the Lord says, turn to me now, while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothes in your grief. This is what we are doing, tearing our clothes. That's not what God wants us to do. What he wants us to do is, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Who knows? Perhaps he will give you a reprieve. sending you a blessing instead of a curse, this curse. Perhaps you will be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord your God as before you did. As you were enjoying the presence of God again, you will get there. I would just like you to leave you there to assess where you are. If it is that needed to come back to God. We are all saved. I'm not talking about salvation. If you are not, yes, do. Please accept Jesus. But if there is a recommitment, if there is something that you need to commit, if there is something that you need to come back to God and say, Lord, yes, I left you there. I left you there in Jerusalem. I want to come back. I want to get you along with me rather than leaving you behind. And be transformed to be called a true son of Abraham. Can I pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you.